I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, I think we've got a fascinating show in store for you this evening. It'll be jam-packed with information as well as really cutting-edge science that's both current and off-world. And we'll be focusing on two particular areas. One will be what is called artificial synthetic telepathy. And this is a term that most people are not aware of at all, yet it's being utilized as we speak. And the second subject will be all things associated with Egypt, and that'll be connecting with cutting-edge information, new information about the pyramids, how they were formed, new information about the Sphinx, as well as connecting the dots around our manipulated history, specifically around Egypt. But before we get into all of that, we'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by setting the tone with a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om.
Hari 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 Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari
Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om. Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om. Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om. Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om. Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om.
Om
Hari Om Hari Om. Om Hari 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 Om.
Om
Hari Om Hari Om. Om Hari 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 Om. Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om.
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om.
Hari Hari Om.
Shanti. Shanti.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, one of my spiritual teachers. He's the founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. And of course, the Om is the frequency of the universe, the unconditional love frequency. And the Om sound is also reflected in the Sri Yantra, S-R-I, the Sri Yantra. And that can also be used as a meditation piece, because yantras are a visual form of a yantra, which we just did, or the sound aspects of a meditation technique. And that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to now take this opportunity to give my thanks, appreciation, gratitude to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you. It's nice to know that there are so many people who can relate with the frequency of information that's put out on this program. And also I'd like to extend an invitation for you to contact me concerning any questions you have about material that is presented on ET Yoga, as well as you can make suggestions related to program content, and you can contact me at paperfungo, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. And I might add, and nothing makes my day more than to hear about your successes utilizing ideas, concepts, and techniques that you hear on ET Yoga. So feel free to share those as well. I'm very interested in that type of email communication. And as well, you can always, as a free service, there's two free services really. One is the archives to this program, and the easiest way to go there would be just go on your computer to BBS Radio ET Yoga. And when you do that, you come to the page and you scroll down to reach the archives, click on the archives, and they go back some 16 years. And most of them are tagged by title. So if you've got some interesting ideas about subjects and you want to find them, you'll likely find them there. And this week's show will show up usually about Tuesday of the following week of the presentation. So if you want to take your time and go through things because they came along too rapidly, then you have that opportunity as a free service. And also as a free service, you can contact me with no strings attached and ask questions about, you know, what was on the show. And I'm more than happy to provide my best answer to your queries. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note, ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should know that I have stated for years, way before the pandemic, that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical, mainstream media, big pharma, and even technology to the best of your ability, given your particular circumstances. And I appreciate everyone has different circumstances. And on tonight's program, I'm not going into detail why I say that, because I don't think there's time, but occasionally I do expand upon that concept. Now, as usual, during the week, usually something catches my eye, and then I kind of expand out from that central point and to its logical conclusion, and those generally are the subject matter for ET Yoga programs. Well, as it so turns out, I just got back from Egypt and the pyramids and the Sphinx, and so that's, yeah, something caught my eye, all right, big time in Egypt. And so that's going to be, you know, a big part of the show tonight. But I wanted to start off with a few quotes that also caught my eye during the week. And they're just short little quotes and concepts, but, you know, maybe they'll strike you as they struck me. I was listening to an interview of Greg Hunter. If you don't know who Greg Hunter is, he does a program called USA Watchdog. And Greg is an experienced journalist, used to work for all the mainstream media boys until he couldn't take it anymore. And he sort of branched out, and now he's doing sort of alternative news on USA Watchdog. He was being interviewed by Mike Adams, the health ranger. And a couple of things were said there that really stood out to me. One, in particular, was Mike Adams said, we live in a world of oblivious masses. And I couldn't concur more. There's so much information out there right now. A lot of it is disinformation, of course, and a lot of it's made up, and a lot of it's just plain BS. But the fact is that there is a lot of information out there, and if you're really looking for the truth, you can find it. And it's just mind-boggling how many people are just in a fog. And that's related back to this oblivious masses. And in commenting about that, Greg Hunter's response was, yeah, he says, I've noticed this too. And in fact, he says he just wonders what would happen when some of these masses figure out, understand, realize what's been done to them related to what he calls self-organizing electromagnetic devices that edits your DNA that have been inserted with these jabs. I'm going to repeat that. Self-organizing electromagnetic devices that edits your DNA. Pretty interesting definition. And also, some new information, at least to me, at least. And I want to give this out as, you know, that for some of our listeners that might benefit from this, is that I have thoroughly gone through the Tagetan Pleiadian analysis of these jabs. And for the most part, they don't offer much hope in terms of how you'd fix the problem. And there has been a recent development, however. And of course, there's two types of these jabs out there. One is mRNA related and one not. And all develop spike protein. But the ones that, the difference being the mRNA, the spike proteins involved in the actual jab and in the others, developed. Okay. But the spike protein is what is the chief contributor to all this myocarditis and blood clotting that's been seen all over the world. And it so turns out, ivermectin binds to the spike protein. And that's a big deal, because I've seen actually some microscopic work done on YouTube. I think it was YouTube. I think the original story are likely at Rense.com. That's R-E-N-S-E.com. But I've seen people that took the PCR test when they jab the thing way up your nose that has little entities actually on the end of those swabs. And I've seen ivermectin eliminate them. And it could have been trick photography, but that's what I saw. And now it makes sense to me. Ivermectin binds to spike protein and eliminates that to a certain extent, apparently, for sure. And also Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who they mentioned on Mike Adams' interview of Greg Hunter, she recently had her doctor's license suspended. She's also states that ivermectin also helps in defense of shedders. And if you don't know about shedders, better tune in, because there's a lot of it out there. And everybody has a certain tolerance and a different tolerance to the shedders. And the last comment I'm going to make related to that particular show was a comment that don't worry about abortion. If your boyfriend and you had all the jabs and the boosters that's recommended, because you are neutered. And that's a direct quote from Greg Hunter. And one last quote that I thought was quite startling that I saw during the week was one about the U.S. being in the top five related to murder rates in the world by country. But interestingly enough, if you remove Chicago, Detroit, Washington, D.C., St. Louis, and Philadelphia from the statistics, then the U.S. would be 189th out of 193 countries. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's startling. And that's a big headline at Rense.com. So I thought I'd pass those little tidbits of information on to you. Now I want to get into Tibetan Pleiadian information related to artificial synthetic telepathy. And exactly what is it and how is it generated? Well, Swaru is the Tibetan who's stating this information. And she says that it is generated using microwaves of the mind's frequency range. And there is already technology available that can watch what it is like to have a real experience through artificial frequencies, and with that implant false memories in people's minds. This is used a lot by the cabal to influence and control multitudes of people using the networks of cellular antennas. And she states that from space, this is forbidden by the Federation and its prime directive. And only they can use it. But, of course, they also use it through their terrestrial cabal. And Gosha, one that's interviewing Swaru, says, but how do they actually send messages with that? Will people hear voices, or is it like feelings? And Athena answers, voices in your head, ideas, feelings, everything can be transmitted artificially. And Robert says, and are all humans compatible at the level of these frequencies? Or are humans in one range of frequencies and the cabal in another range of frequencies? And Athena says, good question. Not everyone is completely compatible. It depends on everyone's frequency, and each person will be different. However, there is a range of frequencies in common that affect everyone, human, Lyran, and whoever. And Gosha says, so what exactly is the process? How do they do it? Do they enter sentences into their computer and send them? And Athena says, yes, it's as simple as that. Of course, the system is already built before, meaning they already know and they already have pre-programmed the collective frequencies that they will use, the ones that are common to many people. But the ones that are specific to one person are more difficult to obtain. And she also states that what they can do is to focus the transmission to where the person they want to affect is located, just as with an online transmission beam, short and focused. Gosha says, do they send frequencies or complete sentences? That is how do they send exact phrases that will be received by a person? And if it is synthetic telepathy and with nobody real outside the person, they will receive it as their own thought, and it will not be a dialogue with someone. And Athena says, that's right. The process is to enter the message by typing it into a computer and then send it to the person or persons they wish to affect. This was also used extensively at the Berkeley University campus in California. And I would suggest that's a subject you could try to do some research on, because that's quite a lot of things are going on there. And Robert says, just like that, by typing. And Athena says, just like that, yes. The Cabal has the technology, and they use it to create riots in cities or to calm the riots as well. That is the cause or how they affect people who are called targeted persons. This can be generic feelings or concepts or complete sentences with voice to skull, as they say, which is hearing and hearing voices inside your head. And Robert said, and that's why they want people in the cities. And Athena says, one of the reasons, yes. And Robert says, so that's why so many of these towers have been installed. And Athena says, indeed, it has to do with it. And Gosha says, who gave this technology to the Cabal? And Athena says, it is not officially known, but surely the Federation through someone. And kudos to the Tigetan Pleiadians, as usual, for bringing up a subject of off-world technology that's currently being used against humans. And I might add that the jabs are not from this planet either. They were not developed here. This nanotechnology is an off-world program that was sent here for distribution. So just wanted to clarify that as well. So we're being hit with some technologies here that, you know, the public doesn't have a clue about. And it's no wonder that so far it's been fairly effective. Now I want to move on to the subject of Egypt, because I just returned from Egypt, and information that was given at museums as well as at the pyramids and at the Sphinx and generally about Egypt. And I don't mind telling you that what's being put out is just a load of crap. I mean, They don't have anything even close to being right. They're not even on top of the guides included. They're not even on top of the current science related to these topics. I mean, and I can state that if you go back in the ET Yoga archives, this must have been about close to 15 years ago, I did an article about the pyramids. And I stated in there that the architects were Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, and Pleiadians, utilizing anti-gravity or levitation techniques to move stones, and dated this at more than 10,500 years old. Now, that was 15 years ago. Okay, well, I can update my information now, because according to the Tibetan Pleiadians, these structures are more than 12,000 years old and provable. And how is that provable, by the way? Well, it so turns out that there's a huge controversy going on in the scientific world concerning specifically the age of the Sphinx. And Greg Braden has been spearheading, he's got a YouTube out on the subject, by the way. You could check it out. It's quite fascinating. He's stating that prior to recent times, everybody thought that the erosion from on the Sphinx was due to a weathering. And now it's been proven that it wasn't due to weathering, it was due to water. Well, that's a whole game changer, because when was the Sphinx underwater? Well, the only time the Sphinx was underwater was the big flood. And so now we're talking about 10,500 to 12,000 years ago, yeah, in that range, which also concurs with the Tibetan Pleiadian information that came out about 3 years ago or so, that Egypt itself is at least 7,000 years older than our history indicates, at least. And Tibetans even state that the actual age of the Sphinx is somewhere between 30 and 35,000 years old. Because, for first place, it had to have existed before the flood in order to experience the flood. And there's another one, incidentally, the flood. Well, what caused the flood? What caused the flood was there was a galactic war going on, and a planet that was it used to exist where the asteroid belt was got totally blown up. And that's what caused the flood. I mean, you want to talk about real ET history here. Of course, you're not going to find that in any college education. Okay, so now we're talking about current science here, cutting-edge science, and the cabal doesn't want their narrative interrupted and their bullshit story exposed. And Greg Braden says that there's also been a technique that they've discovered part of the building structure of the pyramids was made from molds. And the Tibetans also concur with this. Interesting part is that, according to the Pleiadians, what they used was a technology to liquefy stone and make molds. Okay, that part the scientists haven't quite figured out yet, but they knew there were molds used in the process. And the other thing that the scientists don't know is that there was also used anti-gravity technology or levitation techniques to put the stones in place. This was all done via extraterrestrials. Now, several groups apparently were involved with the building here, several ET races, one of the chief guys they indicate was Thoth, T-H-O-T-H. So information I gave 15 years ago is pretty much right on. and the newest information concurs with that. This also kind of relates to the ideas that the cabal wants to put out there and keep in place. And but it boggles my mind that even these the tour guides aren't aware of the most current science. It's one thing if you want to believe in ETs or not, you want to believe in the Tigetans or not, but this is current science. Okay. And Egypt itself is far, far older than we've been led to believe. And of course, the pyramid now, they'll let you go inside and, you know, they say you crawl around on your knees for a while and, you know, they're not going to show you anything if it was spectacular, they're not going to show it to you. But the bottom line is that it is an amazing structure. Multiple of them are structures. And apparently there's like 180, I think we were told, 180 pyramids in Egypt. And according to the Pleiadians, back in the day, the two primary uses of the pyramids was for interstellar travel and providing electricity, because at that time there was electricity and these were a source of energy that were connected throughout the known world at that time, and there was electricity generated by pyramids. And this interstellar travel, the Tigetans believe that there's another pyramid underneath the pyramid. Now, it may be out of phase with this dimension because it forms like one pyramid upside down, one right side up. They intertwine to form a Merkaba. And this active Merkaba can be used to generate interstellar travel. Now, I would postulate another theory here, and this is purely conjecture, but in watching Stargate SG-1, which I highly recommend you check out the old movie series, it was written, I think, in 1991, but in that particular show, there's a lot of truth, a lot of things that how they would even know the information back in 1991, current events, a lot of them are mentioned in this series. Okay, so it's a disclosure of sorts. And in Stargate SG-1, there was a Stargate found in the Giza Plateau, and let's just assume it was in one of the main pyramids. That would also explain why people could go to the pyramid and go for an hour, a day, a week, a year, whatever, to destinations in our galaxy. And other information related to that is that the founders or the ancients or the Ptah, as sometimes called, they did set up these stargates in different places throughout the galaxy to enable just such a process. So this all ties in with the whole idea of jump rooms and super soldiers who have come back from Mars have talked about being in some of these devices. So this is not so out there that it's not being talked about. At James Rink at Super Soldier, they give a lot of information related to this type of subject. And definitely, these interstellar travel makes a lot of sense to me. And the whole concept here of the some of these technologies is also totally in my way of thinking, because as I understand it, first off, there's been another find in Buceg, Romania. That's B-U-C-E-G-I. You'll look up Buceg, Romania on your computer and look under ET base discovered. You'll find a lot of information. In fact, there's 6 books out on the subject. I've read 3 of them, Transylvania Sunrise, Transylvania Moonrise, and Light of Egypt. And there's 3 more that I haven't read yet, all related to an ET base that was discovered via satellite. It was discovered underneath what's called the Rock Sphinx in Buceg, Romania. And, of course, when you go there now, I mean, you can go up and touch the Rock Sphinx like you can go and touch the pyramid, but you're not going to get a tour of the discovered ET base. That's just hush-hush, okay? They're not talking about that. In fact, I have had friends send pictures of U.S. military who guard an entrance to that particular base. And interestingly enough, a rock sphinx sort of marks the site, and inside they have discovered a holographic history of the Earth going back 50,000 years. And the Romanian government was going to make this public to the world, but the U.S. and the Vatican jumped in and basically shut their country down overnight and re-scripted the idea. So this isn't public information, really. And a lot of other technologies that were found inside this underground base that's underneath the mountain there up in the Buceg area. And it's amazing technology that's been found there. But this history is what's key, because the cabal doesn't want history out. In fact, as it so turns out, history, our particular history, has really been skewered. They don't want us to know about our history, especially anything related to ET technology and ET history. Okay. And it's so interestingly enough that what they found was there's actually underground tunnels that lead from Buceg, Romania, to the Giza Plateau in Egypt and to Iraq, as well as one underground tunnel to Tibet. So these are all connected and have been for, you know, thousands of years. And according to Edgar Cayce, he said that we would find a hall of what he called the Hall of Records underneath one of the paws of the Sphinx. Well, now they're not getting any news about this, but I remember Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R, this would be about 10 years ago now, he stated that the Hall of Records was discovered. And that somebody asked him, well, yeah, but will it ever make the public eye? And he said at that time, oh, yeah, he thought it would be because those who were controlling it were good guys or whatever. Well, BS to that, never happened, okay? And there's another record that goes back apparently 50,000 years, probably, you know, matches up with the one that was found in Buceg, Romania. And because the truth about our history is not to be known to the public. First off, it throws everything off, including the church. So, and I might add that Mari, another Tibetan Pleiadian, is currently investigating the history of the earth. That must be a hoot. And she's discovering that it's all all false, and that it's either put in a different order and arranged to half fit a storyline. And she also states that since the pandemic, it's clearer than ever how they are imposing and writing things that never happened as historical facts. Although, of course, you could see that before, as with the moon landing, that could never have happened. And if you want to go to CosmicAgencyOdyssey.com, you can do some searching there, and you can find a video there about the fake moon landing, because it never happened. This is another BS story that's been given to our society as a dog and pony show about where we are at with our technology. The truth of the matter is we've had UFO technology on this planet since the 30s and 40s. And I've talked about that before. I'm not going into detail on how the Germans were given UFO technology from the Aldebaran, a small group from Aldebaran, and eventually took that technology down to Antarctica and eventually developed it into weaponized vehicles. And that eventually, it's a long story, but eventually led to the creation of the secret space program. And they've been out in space there for the last 70 years. And the public is just, the taxpayers, we're the ones paying for it. Yeah. But we don't get the benefits of the program because they call it the runaway culture. Okay. Because they did. They ran off the planet and most people don't know about it. And this technology has been here, like I said, they've been using it for 70 years, trying to make the public think we're taking rockets to the moon, which can't be done. You can't get through the Van Allen belts, fry like a fish. So the bottom line here is that Earth, its entire culture is false. Okay? That's the bottom line. Earth's entire culture is false. And this, the story, you know, anything that's really relevant, you know, gets hidden. Like this find in Buzet, Romania. You know, what's interesting? We have relatives in Romania that don't know about the Buzet find. Okay? So, I mean, that's just goes to show you, like, how it's not, I mean, there are people that we have overheard talk about it, but the bottom line is most people don't have a clue about it, okay? And it's similar to this, the find down at in the Sphinx, the 50-year history, or 50,000-year history of the Earth, because they don't want this type of information out there. Our whole history is basically fabricated or put and rearranged in different orders. And it's going to be fascinating to see the final results of Mari's investigation into Earth history, because it's just, it's a fable, okay? Like most things that we're told about and lied about, what kind of technology we actually have. And, most of the UFOs that we see are actually, they're not extraterrestrial. There are craft, okay, or a secret space program craft. And interestingly enough, back in that show, Stargate SG-1, when you look at Stargate SG-1, at the end of every episode, it says, thanks for the cooperation of U.S. Space Command. Oh, really? I didn't know we had U.S. Space Command back in 1991. I thought Trump just brought this up as a new agency when he was in office. No, they're giving credits to the U.S. Space Command back in 1991 at the end of every Stargate SG-1 show. Yeah, because we have bases on the moon and Mars, and, you know, as amazing as that might sound, those are the facts, you know, in my world anyway, okay? Of course, you know, I got a tinfoil hat on, so you can't count on much. But hopefully many of you can tune into some of this stuff and check some of it out yourself. Check out that Romanian find in Buzet, Bucegi, Romania. Yeah, check that out. Check out some of the 6 books that have been written about it. And see what's really going on, you know. And by the way, in my opinion, related to the concept of what I call positive spin, I should point out that all circumstances are neutral. That's the premise of relating to the technique of positive spin, meaning you choose to believe the meaning you choose to create in life about your life. It's what generates the particular type of circumstances you experience. These reinforce, reflect, and represent the meanings you are creating. Given meaning is the actual act of creation itself. To give meaning to something is to create it into existence in your particular experiential realm. And it's not seeing is believing, it's believing is seeing. And I think those are pretty pretty cool words to embrace. And I might add that, and I'm going to share with you now a technique that I developed. This is my own technique based on what I call three levels of reality creation. First level being the beliefs you were born with because you downloaded them for the first 6-7 years of your life from your original caregivers. That's level one. Level two is the concept of positive spin, where the formula is if you have a positive definition and a positive emotional reaction to an outer circumstance, you will have a positive experience. If you have a negative definition and a negative emotional reaction to an outer experience, you'll have a negative experience. And I challenge people to write this kind of stuff down when you try the technique. But a lot of people miss the idea about when I'm talking about positive emotional spin. I'm talking about, yeah, I'm talking about, yeah, I'm talking about that feeling like that when the guy throws the strike to win the PBA national championship or whatever, and he needs three strikes to win, and he gets that third strike, and he sees all the pins go down, and he's just ecstatic. That's the kind of emotion you put on any issue, that kind of emotion. And then the third level of positive or what I call reality creation, is where you're not dealing with a particular circumstance, but you're creating an entirely new circumstance. And that gets really tricky, which led me to develop my technique. And my technique is to utilize that emotion that I just gave and say that about 15, 20 times a day for no reason whatsoever. Absolutely no reason. And the idea being that outer circumstances don't matter. Only state of being matters. What you put out is what you get back, okay? This is a scientific principle, by the way. What you put out is what you get back. Create the effect of being happy, and you will attract into your lives all the causes to support the happiness you have created. Just because you want to. Not waiting for some external event like winning the lottery to trigger your happiness. Just decide to do it. Now, the backwards way I came up with this idea was, because manifesting is so tricky, especially when it comes to money, okay? And the thing about money is that you are still born here on this planet to learn certain things. Then reincarnation is a fact, okay? It's not like you have one life here. And if you got too much money at a certain age in your life, you may not have learned the lesson that you were sent here for. So don't get caught up that you're trying techniques to amass a lot of money, because that's what most people use the techniques for. It's because it may not happen. It's sort of like Swami Satchitananda would say, a plan pending God's approval, or when it's the right time. In fact, I think it's better for people they come into big money later in life, because at least they've gone through their life lessons. They've seen circumstances repeat themselves a number of times. You start to catch on that, you know, you're creating your outer reality, because you do. Your outer reality is a combination of your beliefs, your definitions, your emotions. That's what creates your outer reality. It's a mere reflection of your beliefs. That's how things work in this matrix that we live in. It's all based on belief. That's why it matters to put out this positive emotion. And so the reason I came up with this technique is that you can't specify a specific circumstance utilizing this technique like you could if you mastered creating from scratch a new situation. However, you're going to get the effect. It's going to be a surprise. You don't know what area it's going to be in. And it's kind of cool because I've been watching it happen because I developed this technique actually earlier this year. And it's been the most mind-boggling, blowing year I've ever had. So the bottom line here is try the technique. It doesn't cost you anything. It's fun to do. And you're doing it for no reason. You're not waiting for something outside of you to trigger your excitement. So I'd like to now close by wishing my ET Yoga listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and also success utilizing this technique. And if you're having success, drop me a line, let me know. And I always close by sharing with you the Who Am I technique, where you place your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then you ask the question, who am I? And you can do that once, twice, a few times, whatever. The idea here is get to the highest place you know how to get to first. Then become that spot. And then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.